Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Going to be in Founders Park, you can eat barbecue from Billy G's Carolina Barbecue, BillyG'sCarolinaBarbecue.com. It is located almost directly behind home plate, shaded towards the visitor's side. That would be the left field foul line. And then down the right field line, where you walk in from center field, you'll see it before you even get to your seats. You'll smell the big porker and the big Tex and all that stuff, the smoked mac and cheese, smoked brisket mac and cheese cooking when you walk in, and you'll be full. Don't forget a cold beverage, of course. Billy G's Carolina Barbecue, CarolinaBarbecueSauce.com. Have it delivered to your doorstep. Lori, that's very kind. We might actually do that. Matter of fact, we've got the voice of the Gamecocks on here. Is his screen frozen?
Oh, no. His screen is frozen. No.
Okay. We've got the other.
Moving energy. Very little.
The dynamic duo of Stuart Lake, who preceded him, and now, of course, Derek Scott. We were joking about you. I was telling Coach Lake that I've learned more about my energy costs this year than I ever have in my entire life, yes. Thanks to the Dominion Energy trivia that you.
It's an effective sponsorship, then, isn't it?
It is. It really yeah. is doing well. Yeah.
Who sold that? Because that was genius.
Yeah, makes you think. Makes you think.
Yeah. Very, very smart. So, Laura, in our chat box here, Lori, Matthew Becker's sweet mother is talking about a little tailgate that the parents are going to have tomorrow. Didn't a Derby themed tailgate? Didn't the Gamecocks play in Lexington on Derby Day a couple years ago, Derek?
Yeah last year.
And yeah. If I remember correctly, y'all couldn't find hotel rooms and stuff, right?
It was graduation weekend and Derby weekend. It was a nightmare. So it was all those rolled into one last year up in Lexington. And then, of course, you remember they got the regional and had their own nightmare. They couldn't put the visiting teams in hotels because there was a music festival going on at Keeneland, the Railbirds Festival, which I mean, had some seriously cool acts. And so they had put them in dorms and, I remember some WVU guys are tweeting out some pretty nasty looking pictures, and it was all pretty much decided that whoever had agreed to this really screwed up and it can't happen again. And yet this year, guess what's going on the same weekend of regionals?
Oh, you're kidding me.
So wow. I hope they've got plans made because Kentucky certainly looks like they're in position to host.
They're very much in position to host, probably no matter what happens this weekend, but hopefully whatever does happen is in favor of South Carolina, which would further cement their position to host as well, Derek. First of all, I hope you feel better. You've got 27 innings to call over the next 3 days. Hopefully not one more than that. But you got 27 innings to call, and I know you've been not feeling well, so we're not going to keep you very long. We'll get you out of here in just a little bit. They've had a week off, really, you know, no midweek. How do you think that's affected them?
Well, I think it's always good for guys to get a rest at some point in the season, and especially when you've got final exams to juggle as well. I don't care what sport it is, that can be a lot to handle for college athletes. And so giving them that opportunity, they had the Gamecock Gala on Monday night, so there's something to kind of turn your attention to. But no, I will be anxious to see how it impacts all of them, because, I mean, it's a long season. It's a grind. And you see guys get dinged up here and there. The obvious stuff when we give the Prisma Health Injury Report, what you find out about. But, you know, for every one thing we talk about on there, there's six things going on with guys who aren't being projected out to the media, or we can't necessarily see it. So I have to think that's never a bad thing at this late stage in the season. You're more than midway through conference play, which means you're probably, what, two-thirds of the way through the regular season. Maybe a good idea to give some guys a chance to hit the reset button.
Yeah, I think so. You've got some guys who've scuffled a little bit at the plate, probably some time to get some things figured out and get some arms a little bit more rested. Roman Kimball's going to get the ball again tonight. On a Friday, we were talking to Coach Lake about Kimball and that kind of that strange little thumb situation last weekend. Nobody could figure it out, but he's okay, so he's going to pitch. But he was good. He was really good early on. What'd you like about him?
Well, I mean, he stayed within himself. They really established the fastball early in that first time through the lineup, and I think what that showed us all was that Arkansas, from the standpoint of how lethal is their offense, well, it wasn't anything overwhelming because, I mean, Roman's got a good fastball, but it's not Paul Skeens. And yet he was having no problems navigating their lineup as long as he was locating it where he wanted to. And that was going to open the door for him to go to more of the off-speed stuff the second time through the lineup and really get extended. I don't know that he'll have that same luxury against Kentucky. This Wildcat offense is one that I'm still trying to figure out, because on the one hand, they still are willing to do the small ball things that made them successful last year. But on the other hand, they are much more physical, hitting more home runs. The other thing that's kind of a mystery to me is what they've done in conference play so far looks elite. Who they played in conference play so far is the opposite of that. It's the SEC. I get it. But they have stayed away from the best teams in the league, especially the best pitching teams in the league. So I don't know. Is it real? Is there something that's going to – we'll see a revision going on in these last, you know, 4 or 5 weeks of the season? Certainly their pitching got knocked around pretty good by the Vols, but Tennessee's an elite offense. I am real curious when you take the snapshot of their stats in conference play, where they were through the first 5 weekends, and then compare it to the second 5 weekends. Is it close, or is it a drastic difference? Because their schedule in terms of the SEC is definitely backloaded.
Well, there's no question about that. And it's not near the strength the Gamecocks have played. I'll give them some, not that you're not giving them credit, you're giving them credit. Yeah. And I know that, but I'll give them extra credit, if you will, if we go back to fifth grade. 8-1 on the road in league play, no matter where you go. I mean, we talk all the time about like how much it sucks to go to Missouri, and that was their one road loss, but they did win the series. They did get Ole Miss and win. So 8-1 on the road, I mean, there's not, you know, they haven't walked into Alex Box, although they're not in a very good year.
No.
And they haven't gone to Arkansas, and they haven't gone to Mississippi State. But
the thing I will say about them, Jamie, is they don't help you. And that always carries on the road. They are really good defensively. Yeah. Man, they are just polished defensively. And then, as we said, they have the ability to play small ball. Some teams just can't do it. Some teams, it's slug or go home. And they, you know, they can bunt. They can steal bases. They'll put more pressure on you running the bases than anybody in the league will. That's what I'm really impressed with, what Nick Mangione has done, is he's built them slowly, but gradually they have become more well-rounded, and it's not, you know, relying on anything tricky to be successful. And they've gotten to the point now where they've got some depth in that lineup. They may not be names that the rest of the league recognizes, but it's not. If you look at the stat sheet, the league leaders and stats around the league, you'll see their guys popping up a lot more than you would have anticipated.
All right, so in the back end of this bullpen for South Carolina, you got two guys you can kind of plug in there where you feel like they're needed the most, Chris Veach and Garrett Gainey. Chris Veach probably has the best changeup in the country. I don't know if I've seen one like that, especially when he's throwing it well. It's really pretty much unhittable. And Garrett Gainey throws it really hard from the left side, but at times he's got some location issues, like too good. He's kind of dealing it in there, and they can turn it around in a hurry. But I just feel like Derek going down the stretch here. And both of them have had some moments, bad ones. And they've had some great ones, but they're going to have a lot more great ones than bad ones if South Carolina wants to. Because I think if the season ended today, I do think that South Carolina would receive a host bid, and if they want to continue to stay in that ballpark, they're going to have these two guys right in the thick of it.
Well, yes, but I'll say this too. I think they've got to get contributions from other guys. I feel like the biggest problem that Garrett Gainey has had over the last few weeks is the need to extend him so often. You know, right. I mean, we went from being happy that he could give you one really good, you know, almost like a bonsai inning, come in there like a crazy man and blowing snot bubbles and, you know, throwing 95. And then suddenly they needed him to do it for three innings. And that's a bit more of an ask. And I believe me, I understand why they've had to ask that of him, but it doesn't make it any easier on him. Yeah. So to me, you know, you got to figure out a way. Can we extend a starter here or there a little further, or can we drop somebody else in there to get a quality inning? And certainly, you know, what you saw the last couple weeks, maybe some development, maybe some evolution from, you know, Jake McCoy and some guys like that that could potentially open that door. Drake Quinn threw a really good inning against Arkansas on Sunday, and I'm sure it got lost in the shuffle. But if you can piece it together a little better and not feel like when Gainey comes out of the bullpen, you're hoping to bring him out in the eighth, and then suddenly, oops, you got to bring him out in the seventh. And let's just hope he can get it home. That's not a great plan. Connor McCreary is another guy that has shown that ability to really step forward. So, you know, those are the ones that I think, you know, can be just as viable in terms of how they get this thing, you know, settled down a little bit and not ask so much of Veach and Gainey in that role.
Yeah, and it'll extend them during the year too. Makes their arms a little bit livelier in June. When you need them to be. Great point, by the way, on Jake McCoy. It's hard to not like him. I mean, wow. When he trots out, you see it. It's there. There's no doubt about that. It's just going to take some growing up. But you've seen him up close and personal now a couple of times. What do you like about him?
I like any lefty that can throw 94 and above. That's really all it comes down to. And you know, not kill the mascot with where it ends up. I mean, that's always helpful. So he has harnessed it. He's harnessed it really well and has now gotten enough SEC appearances, home and road, for you to feel like, okay, you know, there's no reason not to run him out there. You don't necessarily need to throw the highest of high leverage, but I just keep looking at Veach. Every time he gets called out, I think it's two on, less than two out. You know, I mean, he hasn't taken over a clean situation in I can't tell you how long. And it's just, you know, that's hard to get out from under on the regular basis. So if you can get a few more guys to step into that role, it'd be nice. And, you know, last weekend, the humidity was such a factor that none of us saw coming. I mean, we watched, you know, Hagan Smith. His jersey and his pants were completely different shades. I mean, he was sweating so profusely, and I thought it definitely impacted Eli Jones on Saturday. I mean, Eli, you know, there was no question he had to go. I mean, there was no, you know, any debate about whether they pulled him too early from the start. If you were paying any attention to that game, you know, they had to pull him when they did. He was out of gas, and I thought Ty Good went from I'm fine to E on the tank in just the snap of a finger. And it just felt like, man, but then when you kept looking at your phone and as Stewart said, we haven't had a weekend anywhere close to this all season, you know? And it was significantly challenging, I think, for both teams to deal with.
I agree with that. It was 90 before you knew it. That was we brought my kids up there. I've been telling everybody how great the weather was going to be. And then we were walking in and Carrie was like, yeah, I don't know how long they're going to last in this. And we had to get them to the shade, but yeah, I agree. They'll adapt. It'll be fine. I mean, they know how it is in Columbia, but it did hit you like a ton of bricks in a hurry. So Brendling's in the lineup, or I don't know. I assume he will be tonight. He was last weekend. Who knows anymore, right? But he was in there, and now Lee Ellis, it's your turn, bud. So you're going to have to go out there and play short. There's a young buck for you. Dalton Reeves is still kind of feeling his way around. Teams are making adjustments to him. He's going to have to make some adjustments back. So there's some youth in this lineup, at least in this league. Reeves, Brendling and Reeves have been around a while, but not here. And you got another top five program coming in. So what's important this weekend in your mind for Carolina?
Well, I think you've got to keep playing clean defense. You know, they've really done a good job of that the last few weeks in conference play. They've got to do that again because, as I said, Kentucky's middle infield is as good as there is in the league. You can't count on them giving you any freebies. You've got to be able to do that. And then, you're right. I mean, some of these guys who last week had to step into bigger roles, you have to imagine coaching staffs will have scouting reports more focused on them than they did last time. So I think this weekend is going to be really important for Ethan Petrie to get it back in gear. Arkansas did a number on him, and it happens. Sometimes some coaches just see things that they can attack. And, you know, if you think about how good Ethan was at Florida the previous weekend, it's almost like, wow, what happened? Well, the scouting report happened, and Arkansas's elite pitching happened. Now, Kentucky's ERA numbers look good. I don't think their arms are like Arkansas's. I don't think anybody's arms are quite like Arkansas's. So I'm looking for Ethan to get back into his swing of things, and because this team, this offense is different when he's going. I mean, he is the guy that can really make it a I guess you would say an intimidating group to go against when he's swinging it the way he can. So to me, I'm really looking specifically at him as a guy that we got to get going. I think that feeds and channels a lot of energy to other guys when their leader is out there and he's mashing.
Trey Pooser gets the ball for Kentucky tonight. Did they face him last year?
No,
they didn't. Right. Okay.
I don't think Pooser was much of a factor last year for them in any, you know, when they began this season, they had a Travis Smith going on Friday. And he was a starter for them last year, but it just didn't seem to work. And so they moved him to the bullpen this year. And so Pooser inherited the Friday role almost out of necessity. And I mean, it's not to say he hasn't done a solid job with it, but he's not, you know, I don't think you look at him and say, well, there's your classic SEC Friday guy. And that's what gives me, you know, encouragement that South Carolina can come out, maybe grab some early momentum because, again, nobody else is Hagan Smith, but you're not going to see a guy. I don't, you know, most nights he's not coming in here and just shoving like that. So that's to me, you know, let's see how this bunch can get out of the gate. You know, I mean, you look at SEC ERAs, Pooser's is good. I know going into last weekend, I think he was setting at 3.77. I don't have the numbers in front of me right now, but you know, he's a guy that wasn't originally part of those plans. And, you know, I think against Tennessee, the fact that he only gave up 3 runs in 6 innings tells you that he can get it done because that lineup is, you know, lethal. But I also don't look at him and go, oh, wow, how are we supposed to compete with this guy? You know, setting the tone on Friday night, I don't think it's going to necessarily look at it like that.
Go get him, Roman. I know tomorrow Joey Holcomb has probably been pretty vocal this week because his Campbell Camels faced Dominic Nimmin last year right here in Founders Park. Yep. Nimmin's going to get the start tomorrow for Kentucky, and Carolina's going to beat him. It's payback time, Derek. I remember this series vividly last year. It was right after Carolina had swept Florida, and then they had the Auburn series. The injuries hit. I remember when they went to Kentucky, and all of a sudden Messina's at third, Wimmer's out of the game. I think French was behind the plate. Lee Croy couldn't play. They were missing 2, 3, or 4 guys in the lineup.
And, yeah, it all kind of caved in on us last weekend. You were playing on that AstroTurf infield, and you did not have your preferred infielders, and they were playing their small ball style. It was one of those where you're just shaking your head, same way. If it can go wrong, it's going wrong for us this weekend, and it was a rough set in Lexington last year, and it'll be much better to be back at Founders Park, and hopefully we get the fan base back in there and create the atmosphere like we know is capable of doing.
There you go. All right. Quick thoughts on King's ejection last Friday. I saw him Saturday. I said, they let you stay in the first game today. He said, yeah.
I told him, I said, if you knew you were getting run, I wish you would have just lost your ever loving mind on that guy, because that was a bad play day, man. And you know what? Good. If it's bad, it's bad. But Phil Elson, who's Arkansas's radio guy, and I think Phil's the best baseball radio guy in the SEC. So Phil and I were talking about it. And Phil was locked into TrackMan. So he was following along as it was happening. I said, Phil, I know we're going to see umps every night. It does no good to get, you know, worked up about it. They can't be perfect. We're not perfect. And he just cut me off. He said, I know where you're trying to go with this, but just quit it. He says, that was bizarre. And I said, and what bothered me the most, because this is not normally this, fans believe it, but it's not normally the case. It's not one-sided. An ump is usually, if he's bad, he's just bad.
Yeah.
Plate last Friday was really bad one way. And that's where it was painful. And that's where I know King's gripe was coming from, was that Hagen Smith is a dude. He doesn't need help. And if that help also isn't staying in place, when we're running guys out on the mound, now we got a real problem. We're in a one-run game here, bud.
Yeah.
And that was the real frustrating part, is it was a bad, bad plate. And when you go back and look at the analytics and look at the data, you realize how bad it was, but only that part of the time. And that's where it's hard to live with that. It's hard to live with that.
He was exactly right. I mentioned that to him Saturday. I said, did you say you suck or did you say this sucks? He said, oh yeah, no, I used the old YOU. That's what got me run.
Yeah.
And, but he was right though, because I was listening to y'all and you and Stu were doing your best to try to be fair to this situation, but I was watching it and Smith was getting everything borderline at the kneecap, bottom of the zone. He was getting it.
Yeah.
And Roman Kimball had three or four, I think two or three of them would have been strikeouts as well looking, yeah. And he didn't get them. And I don't blame. I'm with you. I would have done the old Jim Thoman. I would have been throwing stuff around and all kinds of stuff, because that can't happen. That right. can't happen like that.
Right.
You've got to be better. And which, you know, umpiring kind of sucks now. You got TrackMan, and then you got guys like that. And yeah. I don't know.
Earl Weaver and a cloud of dust would have probably been my inspiration at that point in time. I would
yeah
broken out the Old Testament act.
I'm with you. All right, Bengals. Who are the Bengals drafting tonight? Any inside? Aren't you a Bengals guy?
No,
well, I thought you were a Bengals fan.
To think that my loyalties are not city based. I'm a Reds fan, but I'm a Washington, whatever we're calling them this week. growing up in the year I did, I know what I still refer to them as, but because I'm in a public setting, I will respectfully decline to do that. But
I call them the Redskins all the time.
Washington got its quarterback last night.
Did you like the pick?
I don't know that you had another choice. You couldn't not take a quarterback. You couldn't get to Jalen Williams. I think Daniels is the only other one of that group that is ready right now. And I saw somebody else say it last night, basically, that even if you like the kid from North Carolina better, he's not ready to play in the NFL right now. His footwork is not there, and he needs to sit a year. Well, Washington doesn't have that luxury. They got to roll a guy out next year. So, yeah, for that reason – I like the pick. I was really hoping Zay Leggett was still going to be on the board when Washington, because Washington's got a bunch of picks tonight.
Yep.
Second and third rounds. And I was really hoping he would be around. I love that guy. He is such a good kid and but I'll also say this, he is so perfect to be staying in the Carolinas. The Panthers need to leverage the heck out of having a guy who is Carolina to the freaking bone. He will be such a great fit for them if they know how to, you know, market him and get the owner out of the spotlight.
Yeah, five picks tonight for the Redskins between the second and third round. See what I did there? The Redskins.
Yeah.
I agree with you 100% on Xavier Leggett. We got to spend a little bit of time around him last year. Left away, incredibly impressed. I love that his name is actually Xavier Leggett, is what he's told me. He says Leggett. And I said, all right. I'm with you. It's neat. Him and JC, Jadeveon, all up there. That's a neat deal. They're only an hour away from Columbia. You can go watch them play. And I'm with you, man. With his family, parents passing, not going, his family can watch him play.
Yeah.
That's tremendous. Hats off to the Panthers for making that happen. And they probably just drafted the best wide receiver on their roster.
Well, I heard somebody ask me, why did they move up one spot to get him? He was going to be there. I said, you move up one spot to get him because that puts him, those first-round draft picks, the team that drafts him gets that extra year of an option on the back end of that contract that you don't get with second round picks. So if they like him as much as Dan Morgan seems to like him, yeah. Once you get to the spot where it's just you and one other team, yeah, give something up if you feel that strongly about a guy. And they really seem to feel that strongly about him because now they've got 5 years of control. And I think that's a great move by Dan Morgan. I really do.
Very well said. 6:45 tonight, airtime on the Gamecock Sports Network. If you're not in a local market, you pull up the Gamecock Sports app, and you can get it anywhere in the world. Derek's voice travels all across the world, and we know that because Will Crow listens to you over there in where is he now, Phil? Is he still in Australia? He's not still in Australia. He's in
He should Korea. Be in Korea now.
Yeah, he's in Korea. Yeah,
after his way in I think it was in Derek, Japan for a few weeks for preseason, but they're playing now, I think.
Derek, you need to learn Korean so you can call the game.
Some people think I need to learn English, but in either instance, I will try and figure something out where we can say a special hello to Will. I like that.
There you go. We asked him if he knew any. This was months before he even,
You know, Phil, I watched a lot of MASH in my younger days, but I really don't think that helped.
That's right. Sounds a lot like Alan Alda. I don't know.
Korean. Hell, this guy needs to learn English. Oh, man. Looking forward to it. Go get him a win, Derek. Get him not just a win tonight. Get him a series.
We need a series, man. Yeah. You get a series win here. It entrenches you so much more strongly in the world of the hosting conversation. This is the biggest opportunity they've got, that's for sure. So
third most quad one wins in college baseball right now for South Carolina. Get two more this weekend, and
for those that are imminent, just critical because that's what they are at all times. Please look at that. Look at those quad ones. We've played 21 quad one games, man. I mean, when I heard the conversation on D1 Baseball's podcast, the Nerdcast, about who's in the field and who's not, they started with Vanderbilt, and then when they started digging in, they completely flipped. And the first reason for the flip was, oh, yeah, South Carolina swept them. But the thing that really sealed the deal was South Carolina's played 21 quad one games, and they're 10-11. Vandy had played, I want to say, 10 or 11, and were well under 500 in those. This schedule has, and it usually is, but more so even than a lot of other SEC teams can say, this schedule has been a grizzly bear, and this team is continuing to battle and play, dead even if they maybe haven't won as many as we'd all like. They haven't lost a bunch of them either, and that's where you just scratch your head sometimes with the frustrations that you're hearing out of some portions of the fan base at this point. But that's just... Yeah.
No, with Kentucky this weekend, Tennessee to finish the year, and they still have Georgia. By the way that it stands right now, 3, 6, 9, 12, 14, 15, 8. So they would have played 18 games with the way that it stands right here, right now, against the RPI top 10. That doesn't even include Alabama at 16, Vanderbilt at 19. The reason Vanderbilt's at 19 is because of what the Gamecocks did to them.
Yeah.
And then Ole Miss down at 26, Florida at 32. It's pretty insane. It's pretty insane. So at the end of the year, they're going to have a chance for with these 3, 6, 9. You still have right now 9 more quad one opportunities. 9, yeah. And they're all top 10.
Yeah, and right now, JB, if I told you went 5-4 in those 9, I think you'd be pretty happy about that. But there are a lot of people right now listening to me who are like losing their mind at the thought of being satisfied with that, and you're not going to win that argument with folks, so you usually just tip your cap and move on.
Tip your cap, move on. Yeah. That's right. There you go. Derek, you know the drill. Take care of it for us. We'll be listening. Man, I hope you feel better, man. You sound good. You're gonna be fine.
Okay.
Just give Stu the controls for innings, you know, 4 through 6, and see what happens.
He's no longer. What do they say in the NFL? By week 12, you're not a rookie anymore.
No,
it's almost May. He's not a rookie anymore. I think he needs to do some play by play.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Grab Coach Tanner and it'd be, you know, Ray and Stu can handle, you know, 3 innings.
We've got an 0-2 count, 1-run game, bottom of the 6th here as the pitch is being delivered. Let me remind you what you should keep your crawl space temperature at.
I'll be in the back with a neti pot under a hood, and those two can handle it for a while. Right.
Well, they're telling us what our water heater should be set at.
Stu, if you're still listening, you know we're giving you big bear hugs, man. He's doing a killer job in there with Derek. Thank you, man. I hope you feel better. Derek. Have a great weekend.
All right, guys. See
you. There you go, Derek Scott. I told him 12:20 is 12:34.
Oh, there
you go. Oh, look. Yeah, that's not fair. Come on, man. Really?
Yo, I've been sitting here for the last 15 minutes listening to y'all jabber on with Derek. I was backstage.
Let me wait till Derek gets out of here so I can slide in. I mean, come on. He has
been here. That was
I've been here. I've been in the green room.
Phil, you didn't let him in?
Well, I was waiting on a clean transition because, you know, our intent, as it always is only to have somebody on for 20 minutes. And, of course, we've gone for 30. So I was going to wait for the clean transition with the ad break. And then as I was removing Derek, he removed himself faster than I could remove him. JC's window moved right where I was clicking Derek out. And then, JC!
Here I am. No, I had some stuff to do. I forgot it's National Pretzel Day today, and I didn't. In the thumbnail and all the promo for the show, game weekends, I like to do something kind of with the mascot. Well, the thing I do the little cartoons with, the Wildcats all were kind of like, you know, mid. This is what the kids call it, mid. So I used a bucket of chicken, and the Gamecock is setting the bucket of Kentucky Fried Chicken on fire. Nice. And so that was today's cartoon, but it's also National Pretzel Day. And so I wanted something with lederhosen and a vat of mustard and some Bavarian pretzels, and I think I got it. So my time was well spent in the green room. And I got off a little bit. I had a little headache during Stewart's thing, and I started feeling a little dizzy. And usually if I just take the headphones off for a second and, you know, drink a Coke or something, I'm fine. I'm good now. But, that was time well spent in the green room, so I'm good to go.
Well, I tell you what, now that you're back, we'll hit a timeout. And we'll hit a timeout. We've got John Strickland still ahead at 1 o'clock. Carolina football has a transfer in the portal. A big basketball prospect is visiting this weekend as well. So we got some stuff to update you on there. And then we'll get John's thoughts on the draft and wrapping spring ball now that we saw him play last weekend. So looking forward to that. Don't go anywhere. It's only 12:36. Inside the Gamecocks, the show is powered by our friends at Electric Bikes of Charleston. The weather is warm. It's great to be outside, and it's great to be on something that you can pedal, but then also you can just sit back and let it do some work for you if you're in the mountains or if you're at the beach or if you're on the sidewalk, wherever you are. Electric Bikes of Charleston. These guys can't say enough about Michelle Wilkins, cannot say enough about her team or her family. They're awesome. You talk about Xavier Leggett. She got to meet Xavier last year, and I remember they sat there and talked as well. All these guys were out riding around on Michelle's bikes. So now that he's a Panther, we're going to have to redo that commercial. ElectricBikesCharleston.com. You can come from anywhere in the state and purchase there. Go to their website and check it out as well. What a great gift for you or the kids in your family, whatever it may be. Electric Bikes of Charleston. Quick timeout, and we will be right back.
I said, oh, Lord Jesus, it's a fire. Ain't nobody got time for that.
Disaster comes uninformed. During and after natural disasters or accidents, there can be a heavy loss to property. Having your home or office destroyed or damaged by water, fire, smoke, or mold affects your personal and business lifestyle. Resto Pros of the Midlands is here to help. Open 24/7. Call them when you need them. 803-493-0170. Resto Pros of the Midlands. RestoProsMidlandsSC.com. Quality that is guaranteed.
Down here in the South, we don't always see eye to eye. While our taste in college football teams, or what sauce, if any, goes best on a rack of ribs, or what to mix with our Dixie vodka might be up for debate, we can all agree there's nothing better than a Southern tailgate. And like our favorite college teams, our ingredients come from small towns and big cities. They're grown in Southern soil, are crafted by Southern hands, and proudly represent the South in our backyard and beyond. So raise a glass of Dixie Southern Vodka to celebrate being made in America and raised in the South.
Welcome home. That's what the Gamecocks say, and so does the Barn Dough Company, where they can build your dream home starting as low as $160 per square foot. If you live in the Carolinas, Georgia, or Tennessee, their turnkey process takes just 4 to 6 months on average and can be custom designed by size and details. Make your dream a reality. Visit thebarndominiumco.com. That's thebarndominiumco.com. The Barn Dough Company. Gamecock, owned and operated.
When you're a developmental program, which all Group of Five schools are, and you lose a great player, that's going to hit you much harder with that next guy plugging in, because he's not there yet. He may be there. He's just not there right now.
I just recently reported about, the heart issue that, ultimately let a Big Ten stop, and originally decided not to play football. And we had reported out that story, kind of unearthing that it was because of heart issue, potentially with
is that myocarditis?
Myocarditis.
I still had 10 scholarship offers because Chase would go play baseball and I would get a lion's share of the reps in the spring, and they're like, who's this number 17? He's pretty good.
Listen to these interviews and more on the JC and Morgan podcast by downloading the Chief Sports app. Part of the Chief Sports Network.
It is winner take all time in the NBA and NHL, and FanDuel is giving you a shot to bring home a big win of your own. Because right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets with any winning $5 bet. That's $150 to bet on spreads, money lines, player props, and more. Just visit FanDuel.com/247, make every playoff shot count. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. A bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
And we welcome you to Founders Park. It's time for baseball, folks. Drive, left field, way back, and gone. Hits the ball into the air the opposite way. Has he done it twice? Yes, he has.
Taylor to the wall. It's gone. Back-to-back home runs for South Carolina.
There's a high drive.
What else can this young man do, Derek? My goodness, that ball was killed.
Gamecock baseball. You are now listening to Inside the Gamecocks, the show. Be loud. Go Gamecocks.
Presented by Resto Pros of the Midlands. RestoProsMidlandsSC.com.
Welcome back, everybody, inside the Gamecocks, the show. JC and Phil here with you. JB had to step out for just a second. He will be back at the top of the hour to talk a little football with John Strickland, who we have coming up at 1 o'clock. JC back in here after designing a nice pretzel meme with everything that you would think of for National Pretzel Day. I'm glad you included Lederhosen in that.
It's a very German thing.
It should be, yeah. Pretzels, I mean, because you say pretzel, I think beer. And, you know,
Lederhosen and leather assless pants. Chaps.
That's right. And mustard.
Assless
where is this going?
I don't know. anyway, hey, some folks in Atlanta from our show are kind of are getting together. Oh, no, they're telling each other where to buy liquor.
Oh,
that's always great. Hey, if we're worth anything as a show, at least we're worth buds telling buds where to go get the goods at. That's so, right.
Yeah, where you can find your allocated whiskeys these days.
At least it's that. So I'm feeling good about that today.
It's a community service we perform here. Really.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Be sure to download the Chief Sports app, by the way. Those of you that follow along on the app, if you did not catch JC and Morgan this week live, there's a fix. I have to talk to Phil about that, that involves YouTube. And so I have to fix it because I just realized that it's not been going through, but I want to apologize for that. Don't delete the app. It's still a great app and it's going to be a fantastic app in time. And it's free. So there's no need to get mad at it. You know,
That's right.
You know, so that's the deal there. JC or Phil, have you ever had pretzel pizza?
No. But I saw that somebody had that pretzel crust pizza. Was it Pizza Hut or Little Caesars? I don't know. I don't.
Little Caesars.
I'm not a pizza guy. My hot take. Not a big pizza guy. Don't really. I mean, I eat it. Don't get me wrong. It's easy. But. Like everyone in my house loves pizza. I usually get wings when we go eat pizza.
It's up here. They have the Chicago deep dish, which I can only eat one piece of, dude. It's like it's a whole meal in and of itself. And quite frankly, I sort of like the apps too better. Yeah. Like we'll go to Luminati sit down. Luminati's is a delivery place, but they have one sit down. So we got Luminati sit down. And I'll get the sampler that has like fried mushrooms, fried zucchini, the greatest mozzarella sticks on earth, a tub of ranch and boneless buffalo wings. And I'll fill up on that and then take the pizza home because it's just so thick and cheesy and gooey. Now, Chicago also has very good thin crust, which I prefer. But I like pizza one night a week. What I like to do is on Friday night during football season, because I'm so worn out after the work week, I'm not really a fan of going out and getting a beer or whatever. I like to come home, order a pizza, watch some TV, get in bed early, get up Saturday and refreshed and be prepared to party my butt off for college game day. You know, that's when I like pizza. Like on a Friday night. Friday night in my mind's pizza night. But I'm not one of these like pizza. I can't, like some people can eat pizza every day. Not me. Like I was not. I was more of a. I like steak nugget day at the cafeteria at school, and that rectangle pizza day, man, that wasn't much because you had that sausage. It's kind of like that taco meat kind of sausage, and you didn't really know. And they're too cheap to give you pepperoni. I will admit something like.
Well, you have the pepperoni cubes though. Sometimes the little cubes pepperonis.
And those could be pretty good, but. Little Caesars did have the pretzel crust. Well, that
was Little Caesars. Yes.
Creative thing they've done in a while.
Yeah, Quantrell shares my opinion on deep dish pizza. It's lasagna with crust.
Yeah, except there's no middle noodles, which I never understood with lasagna anyway. I don't like the middle noodle. I don't understand it. I don't understand the point. I'm like, you have a shell of noodles, and why do you have it in the middle? Is it just how it goes, JC? The lasagna has the middle noodle. Oh, but kind of a... Baraccio, but you know, a bit of noodle. Oh, hey. Anyway, so I will admit something. When I was leaving Columbia the other day, I had some time. I was hungry, and there was a Pizza Hut right next to my hotel, and it was lunchtime. And there are certain Pizza Huts that still have that $6.99 buffet with a salad bar at lunchtime. You know, took that left on, 301 or whatever, the road that's crowded all the time in Lexington once you cross I-26. Took a left in there, almost died twice. Got in there. No, it's just Pizza Hut sit down. That's it. You order off the menu. I was so disappointed. But I had to go to the bathroom, so I like went and used their bathroom. And then I was like, shoot, I was supposed to meet. Well, I made some excuse like because they were all looking at me like, oh, somebody's really coming in here to eat?
Yeah,
and I felt bad. I was like, my wife, she said pizza inn. There's no pizza inn in Columbia, I don't think.
Pizza inn.
I didn't know what to say. So that was embarrassing. But That pizza hut buffet is not bad, though. I mean, it's like it's just rare. You don't see it anymore. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Bird says makes you miss the days when the family would meet up a pizza on a Friday night. Yeah, man, those were fun times.
Yeah, no doubt.
And to me, that's not like even real pizza. That's like I dipped most of my pizza in ranch, smothered it in ranch.
Now we've got a decent pizza joint up here, up the road from us. That's a little local one, independent, and it's mm-hmm. I mean, it's good, but still, I usually get we'll order a pizza and then I'll order like some cheese fries and chicken wings too. Yeah, it's the chicken wing. I'm a big chicken.
Give me wings and fries, cheese fries over that.
Yes.
Anyway.
Yes, yes.
Big Slime Jimmy says Phil was not a filet mignon guy growing up. The pepperoni pizza was not for him.
It was a filet mignon guy. Nah, not quite.
I kind of like quite. I like the filet now. That was my go-to, the filet. And as I got fat and fatter and more fat, and then got skinny, but then got fat again. It just wasn't enough, so I switched to the ribeye.
Yep. I do like a good filet, but like you, I have moved on, and generally go for the fattier ribeye these days.
Yeah. It's like, because when I was a kid, I thought it was cool that they wrapped the filet in bacon. You know, like when I was a kid growing up, like my dad used to, I was rail thin, right, and ate everything in sight, like a lot of kids. And he's like, "You're not fat, but you have fat tendencies."
You got fat tendencies.
Well, that may be the most truthful thing that man ever said in his life. You're absolutely right, Papa.
That's right. You're fat right.
Tendencies.
I have fat tendencies.
Fat tendencies, man. Fat tendencies. No, Craig, I didn't drop a coiler in Pizza Hut. That wasn't. So, Marion's wife lives in Duncan. Oh, yeah, that's the most famous Pizza Inn of them all. You're talking about like in my high school days.
Yep.
It was brand new. All kinds of fundraisers there in District 5. Chocolate chip pizza in the more Duncan area. We get one or three when we go see the sun. Yeah, so that's the home. That's my home base there. It's also where the Barndo Co., who builds our show every day, is located. Their corporate office is right there on Highway 290 in Duncan, South Carolina. So I guess we probably need to talk sports. This Kentucky series is interesting. I think they've got a really good baseball coach. Although, kind of like Mark Kingston, when you look at his record, he went to a super regional his first year and then had like four straight either losing seasons or out of the postseason altogether. Rebounded last year with a trip to the Supers, and certainly their top five this year. I think he's a really good coach. I think it's a very tough job in baseball. But I also think that are they really 32-7? I mean, are they really that good? Or are they one of those teams where they've gotten the breaks, and they're going to come back down to – like all baseball teams at some point go through ebbs and flows no matter how good they are. That's what – you'll see World Series champions in – let me take that back, because these days winning a World Series is all about who gets hot at the same time. The regular season in Major League Baseball, almost, and I am looking at it from a frustrated Braves fan perspective, but it almost means nothing. I mean, the teams that they don't, last year the freaking Diamondbacks came out of nowhere.
Yeah.
Look, I saw the Diamondbacks play the White Sox the previous year. They didn't make that many moves. That was not – it didn't strike me as a World Series team. They just got hot at the right time. I digress. But in the pros, you'll see – even in college, Ray Tanner had – I think his national championship winning team, Phil, started 1-5 in the league.
Yeah.
Including maybe a sweep at Kentucky. But, so they have – and Tennessee did take 2 of 3 from the Wildcats up there. Tennessee's a good team too, but it was at home and – sorry.
No, you're good. I
think they're due. I think what happened last year, which was a really sad series, our buddy Joel, who lives in Kentucky, actually went to two of those games. Whew. And said the game guys just kind of looked lifeless and timid, and that was about the point where all the injuries were just like, dang, enough, man. And they got swept, right? I think that almost plays in Carolina's favor because you know those guys are going to be confident, Kentucky, coming in here. Oh, Tennessee may have beaten us like they beat us in every other sport. But, you know, we own South Carolina, and so blah, blah, blah. And if the Gamecocks come out and play spirited, I think it's, you know, the law of averages in this sport just kind of even out. But Kentucky's been a bugaboo for a while, especially up there. Now, in Columbia, the Gamecocks have handled them pretty well through the years. But they're one of those teams that always in baseball is going to scare. They were kind of scary in baseball, Phil, before they were scary in football, like with under Stoops. The 2000 team Craig mentioned that went 50-6. One of their losses in the postseason, Craig, was in Hoover. The Gamecocks were the one seed. Kentucky was the eight. Kip Bocknight on the mound. I wasn't going to bring this game up yesterday, by the way. Kip pitched okay, but Gamecocks lost at 6-4, opening game of the SEC tournament. They were the number one team in the country. Kentucky's always seemed to find a way to kind of gnaw at Carolina's heels a little bit.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's the kind of deal. But I, you know, I don't know. Well,
they so, only yeah. won. This is one of those two where, I mean, as cliche as it is, the team that wants this one more, I think, will win it. Because they're, while Kentucky's record suggests, and their, I mean, their stats and numbers, you know, have them near the top of the league in just about everything when it comes to offense. The who have they played question, you can't use it fully because it is the SEC, but they have not played the top echelon to the number that Carolina has. So I think your will this weekend is what's going to bring it together. You're going to have to play as a team, and whichever team wants it more is going to walk away with a win. But hopefully you wrap this thing up, you know, tomorrow, and then Sunday is kind of house money. Because if you know, win this series, you know, and I agree with what Derek and Stu said, you really are in the driver's seat at that point, with the number of quad one victories you've had to host one of the regionals.
Yeah, I'm with you. I mean, I guess I haven't talked that much about hosting a regional because I want them to host a super regional.
Well, I mean, Eight would be great.
There's a way that they got to get extremely hot, but they could do it.
Oh, yeah.
I was just like, well, they hosted a regional last year. And then you're at the mercy of getting matched up. You know, and the problem is now, Phil, it's the SEC's so good. Like, you're just looking at the bracket going, as long as you're not matched up and having to hit the roads for a super against a conference team, you're in probably pretty good shape. But if you think about it, Kingston's two losses in the supers have come at Arkansas and at Florida.
Yeah.
So that's the deal there. But I think too, Roman Kimball was off to a really good start Friday night before he had to come out, and I think that. And then they mentioned Eli Jones getting pulled a little early, and look, Matt Williams is one of the best pitching coaches in the country. I'm certainly not J.C. Sherber's not questioning him. But you do kind of get the sense sometimes where Kip's right. You would like to see the guy throw, you know, into the seventh inning, because you eat innings that way, and then you have your bullpen. I thought JB and I were talking, and you know that was a really good win Saturday in the game one, and then JB and I were talking afterward, like, well, they got the momentum, but I thought, well, man, they used up a bunch of their pitching. And Arkansas is very deep. It was still a 9-6 game, but you're just like, you know, when you blow through Ty Good, Matt Becker, and those guys early, you don't have them on Sunday. It gets a little more iffy, in my opinion. So I think it's important. Maybe Roman Kimball can have a really great start tonight and have a throw a bunch of innings. And then you got Eli tomorrow. You wrap it up, and then you got your whole deck of cards, so to speak. For the Sunday match, because I tell you what, you know, you sweep these guys, and luckily for you, you get to go to Missouri. Now, I don't know how cold it's going to be next week in Missouri, but you get to go to Missouri in May and not March, so it's not like freezing and miserable and awful. And they're not they're not very good, right?
No, yeah.
And so maybe you can get, you know, maybe get a sweep here, you win your midweek sweep there. All of a sudden, you're sitting at 34-13 and 15-9 in the league with the Dogs coming to town, and they're better than people think. They're a regional team. They may host. At Condon, kid's unbelievable. You know, and then you go to Tennessee, so you shoot your shot. Maybe you split those. Maybe you don't, but if you're sitting at 17, 18, 19 wins in the league and a high RPI and all that, Phil, with all these quad one wins, you know, you could host a super, and which I think that was kind of my hope for this team is hosting a super. And it just seems to me like they've just never kind of been in the discussion. Like they're just kind of getting dismissed and, you know, kind of like the D1 baseball guys on the podcast. They were talking about Vandy initially, and then, oh, South Carolina, by the way.
Yeah.
And that also brings up this point that I think it was the State or somebody. We're talking about relevance. It's the game. Oh, no, 107.5, the game, put a poll on Twitter about relevance. 66% said Carolina's not relevant at all nationally in football. I don't know. You know, maybe not. I mean, maybe that's probably when you're not a blue blood and you're not doing something like extraordinary these days. Yeah. Maybe that's what they do to you. I'm going to get a Keenan Allen Jr. really quick. It's 2 seconds. This does not surprise me. This is a big spring for him. They gave him every chance in the world to win the starting nickel job. He just didn't have the coverage skills at the end of the day to hold that position down. He got a little bigger when he was here. Jacob, I completely agree with you. I think he could go group of five and be fine. Where does this hurt the team, special teams? Because he was on a bunch of them, and he was really good on special teams. So if it hurts, it's there. But they were going into the season with Kilgore, Emenwore, Smith at the three non-corner DB spots. And then you got guys behind him. I mean, Kilgore's brother, Gerald. Yes, Gerald, isn't it? Gerard? Yeah,
Jalen and Gerald.
Is ahead of him. You know, came in for Tennessee Tech and jumped ahead of him. So that's just how it goes. Unfortunately, you know, he was a four-star guy, highly recruited guy. And, you know, what I think got him was somebody somewhere decided he was a corner early. He was never a corner. And it got attached to him. And I don't know. So, but I am certainly wish him the best. And he's a big recruit at the time, did not have to come to South Carolina. Could have gone anywhere he wanted and came here. And you got to tip your cap to him. Good news is things like this don't hurt you like they used to, because you used to go, man, another highly recruited guy from that class is gone. You just go get a guy out of the portal. That easy. I don't know if they will this time or not with him specifically, but they'll get somebody. All right. Yeah. We got a break, and we got my boy John Strickland coming up to talk a little Gamecock football spring game. Got a chance to hang out with Strick last weekend. A lot of fun, big times. And certainly will be good to catch up with him after these messages on Inside the Gamecocks the Show.
We have started in 1979. Because we're a manufacturer, we're able to control our costs. That's why we like to manufacture as much of the product as we can, because in our factory stores, we can offer a competitive edge over other people around the country. When people come into one of our Palm Casuals, it's like they're buying their car at Detroit. They're going right to the factory and buying their car.
30-day money-back guarantee. That's a big deal with us. I mean, we give 30 days to do anything. I mean, return it, change it, get a different color, get your money back.
When you pull into a store and it says Palm Casual, you know you're at a factory store.
Rescues and Resin, proud supporters of Carolina Rise. They are also proud partners of the show. They make products you can't get anywhere else. Custom designed wood and resin products that make your tailgate, make your home, or make anything stand out. Order a custom cutting board, coasters, wall art, tables, and more. Contact Dustin and Tabitha at rescuesandresin.com today. Rescuesandresin.com, and put your imagination to work. Rescues and Resin, proud partners of Inside the Gamecocks, the show.
Hey, Gamecock fans, Mike Morgan here. During my time in Columbia, one of my favorite places to eat was Salsarita's. When I go back now for work or any other reason, it's still Salsarita's. Yeah, I'm like you. I love tacos. I love Tex-Mex. Where are you going to go to get them? Well, you've got two convenient Salsarita's locations, one in Lexington at the Target Center and one in West Columbia as well. Now, if you like tailgating, and who doesn't? Whether it's for a football game or anything else, they've got the catering hotline. Get yourself some Fiesta packs to take tailgating. Get yourself the Three Amigos bundles for tailgating. They make catering easy with a fresh hot setup, and again, you just call the phone number 803-543-6297 to set it up. You can also look them up online, or you can even download the app. Salsarita's is just a cut above the rest. That's why they're serving Williams-Brice Stadium and the South Stands, also serving in the Colonial Life Arena. Again, that catering hotline number, make it easy for you and the folks out there. You don't need to settle for sandwiches every time. 803-543-6297. 803-543-6297.
It's 2024, and it's time to get in shape. Charleston Fitness Equipment can help you do just that in Mount Pleasant. The Wilkins family, big Gamecock fans and proud supporters of Carolina Rise and our programming on the Chiefs Sports Network. But most importantly, proud supporters of you getting healthy and staying healthy. CharlestonFitnessEquipment.com. Find them on the Chiefs Sports app and in Mount Pleasant. Happy New Year.